Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Are we honestly living like we believe? Or do we come to church and act one way and walk out of church and act another way? Do we honestly know Him? Do we really love Him? Are we driven by that love?
Jesus said, "If you love me, then you will keep my commandments." If we love Jesus, we are going to desire to live a life pleasing to Him. We are going to be the same person at church as we are at the office, as we are at home, because our love for Jesus is what drives us wherever we are, whoever we are surrounded by. We are studying a great self-evaluation out of the book of Romans. We pray you stay with us for more from Romans 2, 11 through 29 in our study, The Deception of Self-Righteousness. Here's Robert Furrow.
Ray Comfort, who is from Calvary Chapel, Ray Comfort Living Waters, does a thing online on YouTube where he goes around and asks people, "Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever stolen anything?" And he gets them to agree to about four or five things that they've done. And he says to them, "I love you, but I want to be truthful with you. You've told me you're a lying, blaspheming thief, an adulterer at heart. So on judgment day, is it heaven or hell for you?" And surprisingly, most people, these are just non-believers, random non-believers, will say, "Hell." They'll realize, I've sinned. And before they might say, "Well, I'm a good person. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person." But the law reveals that we all fall short. We all have told lies. We've all used God's name in vain. We've all done those things. So we all fall short. And that's the same thing. Now, they think that they are teachers and they're teaching the law. But then he says to them, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourselves? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?" Now, this is an exaggerated statement. You who abhor idols, do you go into temples and rob the idols from the very temples? He's saying, are you a hypocrite? You say you know these things and you know them and you have the right true way, but having and knowing the right true way, being a member of the church that is the right true proper church by which you get saved through, and being saved are two different things. There will be a lot of members of churches that will be rejected in the day of judgment. He will say to them, "Away from me, for I never knew you." It's about that relationship with God, the righteousness of God that is revealed through faith. "For the just shall live by faith," from faith to faith, "for the just shall live by faith." So then in verse 23, "You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law," or through breaking the law? And of course they do. Who doesn't do it? They broke, there were 622 commandments in the law, distinct individual commandments. Some of them are repeated more than once, but there's 622 commandments in the law. How many do you think they broke in a day? How many times do we violate our own conscience in a day? How many times do we break God's will in a day, God's desire for us in a day? So he goes on to say then, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Now, Paul's talking to his own. Remember, Paul is Jewish. So when he has harsh words for those who are Jewish, he's talking to his own. And he was a Pharisee. Jesus had his harshest words for the Pharisees. You scribes, you hypocrites, you Pharisees. And then he would tell them, he didn't read Matthew 23 and see all the words that Jesus had against them. And the Gentiles would see this hypocrisy. He would see them teaching the things about God, acting like it was right, and then living a different way. Now, you think about Paul's harsh words towards the Jewish people and his own, because they weren't living what they said. And I think about the church. I think about us. Are we honestly living like we believe? Or do we come to church and act one way and walk out of church in another way? Do we honestly know him? Do we really love him? Are we driven by that love? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's a self-evaluation from John 1. I think it's John 1, verse 4. Actually, so I think it's John 2, 1, 1 John 2, 4 is what I think it is, that says, by this we know that we know him. By this we know that we know him. Not by this I know that you know him, because I don't know your heart. But by this we know that we know him, that we keep his commandments. And he who says that he loves him and doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth ain't in him. Paul doubles down on it. You're a liar if you say you love Christ. So when someone is justifying some sin and they're acting it out and they say to me, I just want you to know I'm spiritual and I love God, I can say, according to the word of God, you're not. There is a couple in our church, been married for a lot of years. The gal made a relationship with another person, was divorced from her husband to marry someone else. So I'm over at Chipotle, and she sees me eating. I'm by myself. So she sits down with me. And she says, I just need to talk with you a little bit, because I want you to know that I'm a spiritual person. It's ruining my burrito, by the way. And I'm like, you're not spiritual. Because a person who is spiritual, although they may be tempted, is not going to divorce their husband for another man. Is there things in your life that you are justifying, that you are doing, but on another hand saying, I'm a spiritual person? This is why people say, I won't go to church. There's too many hypocrites in church, right? Maybe you even said that. Now, I like to say, if you ever find a church that has no hypocrites in it, don't go, because you'll ruin it. You'll be the only hypocrite that is there. But you don't judge Jesus by his people. And you don't even know whether they're really his people. You come to Jesus and allow him to move and work. But we need to be conscious of the fact that David received real discipline from God, because people blasphemed God because God said, David's a man after my own heart. And God said, because you've caused people to blaspheme me, the child will die. So one of his children was killed by God as a discipline to David, because people were blaspheming God because of David. That's happening today with a rash of people that are in the pulpit that are being found to be in sin. People in the world see that and they go, you know, I knew there was a reason I didn't go to church. I knew there was a reason. And so he says, the name of God is blasphemed among you, among the Gentiles, because of you, as it is written, And so the Old Testament talked about, the prophesied and spoke about the Gentiles who blasphemed. Now in our final section, we're going to look at the true meaning of righteousness. Paul now gets into what it really means to be righteous. So in verse 25, he says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. So the Jews had circumcision. It was the covenant of Abraham that went back to Abraham, that Abraham made a covenant of circumcision to God, a sign of cutting away of the flesh and living for God, a sign of saying, I give everything to you. So every male was to be circumcised. Now, it's profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if you're finding ways to, like Jesus said, you tithe your mint and your cumin, which are spices. So they tithed out their spices to tithe the tenth to God, which Jesus said you should have done. You should have done the first. But he says, you neglect justice and mercy. So they were judges. The scribes and Pharisees were judges in the land. And they neglected justice and mercy in their judgment. And people who had been mistreated by these judges, who were also religious, would then blaspheme God because of that. Or could you imagine traveling to Jerusalem on Passover, only to find out that your lamb was rejected because the priest had a certain table where he got a kickback from the money of the lambs that were sold there. And you brought in your money. And on top of that, you had to pay it in temple shekels, and they were causing you an exorbitant rate to exchange your money. By the time you got your lamb to be able to sacrifice to God, now you're just mad. Instead of being joyful and bringing your sacrifice to God, you're just upset because these people are standing in the way. That's what we want to make sure we don't do, that we don't stand in the way of people being able to come to Christ wholeheartedly and openheartedly. He says, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? This is the very reason that Paul's in jail in Rome, because he had said that God had sent him to the Gentiles, that he went to the Jew first, but then God sent him out to the Gentiles. And he says, if the uncircumcised are keeping the law, they'll be accepted by God. Verse 27, and will not the physical uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? They're going to become judges over you, even though you have the law. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Now, this is misused by a lot of people who will say God's rejecting the Jewish people. He has rejected them because they are not inwardly following him, so they are no longer his people. That's not what Paul's saying. He's using the Jews as an example of the people of God. And the real people of God are not ones who are outwardly following God. They're ones who are inwardly following him. We could say the same thing about Christianity. You are not a Christian who is only following God outwardly, right? You could follow God outwardly. You're going to church. You're paying your tithes or your offerings. By all means, people see you that you're serving God. But the outward service doesn't make you a Christian. The outward service doesn't make you Jewish. It doesn't mean that God rejected them. We know from other passages that they will be saved in the last days. They will all be saved, it says. That the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob had his name changed to Israel. And in Romans 11, when we get there, 11:25, it says that they will all be saved. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. That blindness has happened to Israel for a time until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and then they are all going to be saved. So don't take this where he says, but he is a Jew who is only one inwardly, as God saying, I've rejected the Jewish people. Do you see how that's just such a big leap? Sometimes we hear a certain teaching and we go, by the way they taught it, and we go, well, that makes sense. If they didn't inwardly serve him, then God's rejected the Jewish people. But the Bible never says God rejected the Jewish people. It says he set them aside for a time and that they will be restored. It says he will regraft them back on again. He's cut them off of the vine, but he will regraft them back in. And that they were cut off for a time so the Gentiles could come in. And the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. He's going to work once again with the people of Israel. And I believe we're very close to that time. In fact, seeing it, there are more Jews today around the world who are Christians than ever before. In the history of the world, more Jews today are Christians. The same thing is true about Muslims, by the way. There are more Muslims today that are Christians than ever before. In fact, there's some really wild things happening in Muslim countries where revival is breaking out. People are dreaming about Jesus. People are talking about Jesus. People are coming to Christ in incredible numbers. I believe we're seeing a revival in the last days. We're just not seeing a revival in the United States. We're seeing a revival around the world in different places. So, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Nor is this serving God, because you are not serving him in the flesh, but serving him through your spirit. You've given everything to him outward. Verse 29, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So when you serve God inwardly, you receive praise from God. When you serve God outwardly, you receive praise from men. Who do you want praise from? Do you want the praise of men, or do you want the praise of God? What will the praise of men do for you in the long run? By the way, the praise of men is massively fickle. They'll say good things about you one day and bad things about you the next day. But the praise of God is what we want. And we want to stand in it and walk in it. And so what do? We find faith. We trust him and believe in him, having a real, genuine relationship with him. We put aside hypocrisy and we sincerely serve and follow God. And we say, Lord, if I'm not following you, if I'm not wholeheartedly following you, Caleb and Joshua wholeheartedly followed God. Caleb specifically is spoken of as wholeheartedly following God. Are you wholeheartedly following him? Is your heart partial to the world? James said, if you love the things of the world, you're committing adultery against God. Do you love this world or do you love God? So we receive the praise of God by the gospel, which Paul said is the power of God to salvation, which Paul identified with saying, by my gospel, and by which we receive it, by realizing that we are sinners and that we need the righteousness that comes from Christ. So today, it's good to do some self-evaluation. He has so far, and he's not done yet, by the way, condemning everybody under sin. He like beats this horse until it is really dead. He doesn't want anybody to leave thinking, I'm okay, I'm right. Everyone needs Christ. Everyone. You may be a good person by human standards. The Bible says there's none good, not one, but the Bible also says that Joseph Arimathea was a good man. By human standards, you can be a good man, but before God, there's not one who's righteous, not one. You need Jesus Christ. And so you have to be born again. You have to be converted. You've got to be changed by the Spirit of God taking up residence inside of you. You've got to say to God, God, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against you. Forgive me and receive the forgiveness of God. And when you do that, you will be transformed. You'll become a new creation. And now inwardly, you are serving and following him. And it's worth every one of us evaluating ourselves because many are going to say, Jesus said, Lord, Lord. And I'll say, away from me, I never knew you. Some are going to say, we did miracles in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And he's going to say, away from me, I never knew you. Did they really do miracles? Or did they just think they did? I don't know. Maybe they did do miracles. But God's the one who did it. But they think they're okay, even if they did miracles and cast out demons, when they don't really know him. Did Judas cast out demons? Did Judas really know him? The Bible says that he sent out the 12 and they came back rejoicing that the evil spirits were subject to their words. And Jesus said, don't rejoice that the evil spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. So it was Judas. It didn't say they cast demons out, all 12 except for Judas. But Judas really didn't know him. He was a thief. He had his own agenda for God. Maybe you've got your own agenda for God. Maybe you follow him for your own reasons rather than surrendering to him as your Savior, saying, you are my King, you are my God, you have my loyalty. And each of us need to do that. And if you're here today and you think maybe because you raised your hand or maybe because you go to church or maybe because you're a good person that you're okay, I want to give you an opportunity so that you can give your life to Christ and begin living for Jesus now. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you for the clarity that we find in the second chapter of the book of Romans and how we see that everyone is condemned. Those that have rejected God and worship the creation rather than the Creator, and those Jews who are religious, and anyone else who may have the truth and may be thinking, because I have the truth, I'm okay. When it's not the hearers of the word that are justified, but the doers of the word. And so I pray that we would have a clear evaluation in our hearts here today, Do we really know you? Do we really love you? Have we really been born again? Have we invited you into our lives? Are we living for you? And I pray, Lord, for those that would see that they have come short of that, that they would surrender their lives to you completely and live for you wholeheartedly. And they would bring the fruits of repentance, that the things that they're doing that are wrong, they would turn from them and repent from them, and there would be fruits of repentance in their lives. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few moments. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe you thought you were okay, but have you ever really been born again? I heard someone say that someone had told them that they were born a Christian. That doesn't happen. You can be born into a family that is a Christian, but you're not born a Christian. You are under an umbrella, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as a child in the family of God. But you have to make a decision. Is there a time in your life when you remember saying, I'm no longer going to live for myself, but I'm going to live for you? Did you say that? And if you don't remember that, then have you really given your life to Christ? Have you said, Lord, I want you and I want to live for you? If you're here today and God's speaking to you and you know you want to give your life to Christ, you know you need to be born in the Spirit. You've been born in the flesh. Now you need to have your spirit born again. Then I'm going to ask you to do something simple but very profound. Just raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand. And then I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. God bless you, ma'am. That's awesome. God bless you, sir. That's great. Anyone else? God bless you up in the balcony. Both of you guys there. That's wonderful. All right. You can put your hands down. And if you're online or listening to this on the radio, then you can pray this prayer as well. You can invite Christ into your life. He's there with you in your car. He's there with you if you're watching this at home or wherever you are and you're watching this. You can give your life to him by praying this prayer. And it's not a prayer that saves you, by the way. It's not raising your hand that saves you. It is the faith that caused you to raise your hand and the faith that causes you to pray this prayer, because the just shall live by faith. You believe that Jesus died for you. You believe he rose from the dead, and now you're going to pray and invite him into your life, and that's the faith that you are saved by God's grace. God did the work. So I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you, but I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.